What's your dream goal with this company?
World domination. I don't want to leave Earth. I want to make Earth a place that we don't need to leave from.
Oh, wow. A lot of wows today.
Yeah. A lot of people want to raise kids. Why not raise powerful individual people? I don't care how old you are. I speak to you as a powerful individual person.
So when girls call me daddy.
Are there any experimental drugs you recommend?
I just came back from an ayahuasca journey. You got to do it, man. I'm there. There's a period of celibacy before and then during.
Oh, fuck.
That'd be good for your hair.
How long? A couple of days?
Couple weeks.
I don't know about this. All right, what's going on, you little sausages? Welcome back to the podcast. Before we kick things off today, if you can, go drop 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave a comment. And when you do that, send me a screenshot of all three of those things to my Instagram DMs. I'm going to pick a handful of people throughout the next week and just send you some fucking money. So hit me with your Venmo, hit me with PayPal or Cash App. Just hit me because we're growing and I want to give back a little bit and I don't really know how to. So this is what we're going to do. 5 stars everywhere. But today we're having a bit more of a serious chat. My good friend David Katz is here. We've actually met one time, but I have no memory of it. Do you remember meeting me?
In Vancouver at some point, for
no,
sure.
No, no, no.
No, it wasn't. Oh, no, it was Jeff, in Australia. It was in New Zealand at Jeff's party.
Yeah, no memory of that.
Yeah.
Jeff was like, hey, you remember you met David?
Yeah.
And there were
so many people to meet. It was a big party anyhow, and it was rocking. So
I have never been so drunk in my life. Because that was the first, for people listening, so Jeff Duncan is my manager, my best friend, one of David's really good friends. It's just a glue for like putting good people together.
Yeah, that's what he does.
He's a really, really great person. And it was his birthday party in New Zealand, and for some reason, I got the invite, me and my best friend, Christian. It was a whole bunch of successful people out at our friend's mansion, and it was a really, really massive night. I don't know if Jeff told you, but the next morning, I woke up with my pants around my ankles in a ball pit, and it was just the peak of the first show that I was on was airing, and I was like, holy shit, what the fuck happened? I can't do this. There's going to be photos of my cock online. I legit was freaking out. And then I come in and I was like, did I have sex with someone? Like what happened last night? And that was the first memory of Jeff.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't want to drink with this guy ever again. It got me so fucked up, these guys. It was crazy. That was a huge night. How long were you in New Zealand for? Have you been there before?
I haven't been there before. I love New Zealand. I thought it was fantastic. I found the people to be remarkable.
Yeah.
And I remember the next day as well, Jeff was talking about you. And then I think we saw your picture on some billboard, on some bus stops or something like that as well. And he was like, oh, it's the dude. And I'm like, oh, what? So I think that was kind of my hairy introduction.
Yeah. And it was weird. And I guess it's been a couple of years since then. And
yeah, that was Jeff's 40th birthday. So that was 3 years ago.
Damn, he's getting old. Jeff, you're getting old. But he's like invincible. Anyway, we're going to talk about David. So a couple of bullet points about David. Voted as one of the world's most compassionate entrepreneurs, sandwiched between Richard Branson and Elon Musk. How do you become a compassionate entrepreneur?
You know, you just have heart. You know, I don't think you set out with the intention to combine the two.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a strong conversation and just starting off with this, you know, with a verb of love, like to do for people. And there's a great old school book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which is really kind of biblical for me. And he's got this one expression and it says, you know, that love the feeling is fruit of love the verb.
Right.
So when you're actually doing for people, when you're actually serving other people, when you see people, when you create them, then that warmth, that love is what fills you. So many people think it's the other way around. Well, I don't love the person. Well, I don't feel in love with them. Well, what have you served them? Have you done for them?
Yeah.
Well, of course you're not feeling it because you're not in the action of it. So I think that's it. The compassion ultimately comes from seeing inside the eyes of people, doing for people and doing for those who others have abandoned or given up on or didn't even know that they were there to serve to begin with.
Yeah.
Which I guess is the prelude to the work that we do.
And right. And what is exactly that you do for people listening that aren't too familiar with you?
So first off, I'm just some crazy dude, like just still just a kid.
Crazy Jack, dude, by the way. He's huge. Well, dude's stacked.
Thank you.
firm handshake, too.
Yeah, very firm.
So,
you know, I just kind of like, you know, I'm just like a regular dude, like just doing some like crazy shit, right? So like, for me, like I grew up on the ocean's edge, grew up on an island on the west coast of Canada and began watching plastic washing up on the shore 35 years ago. Mm. Like fuck that. Like, that's not, it doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for the beach. It doesn't work for, you know, anything alive in the world. And I've just been, you know, in the pursuit of that service, we'll say. And it led me to create an organization called Plastic Bank. Mm. And the best way to really express Plastic Bank is that we've really grown to be the world's largest chain of stores for the ultra, ultra poor. So like people who make less than a dollar a day.
Yeah.
Where everything in the store is only available to be purchased using plastic garbage. And in the stores, we offer school tuition, medical insurance, Wi-Fi, cooking fuel, like everything the poor have always struggled to afford, now using garbage would otherwise flow into the environment of the ocean.
Wow.
So ultimately created a monetary standard using garbage as money. And so inside of it, there's a blockchain banking application, which is also was awarded to the United Nations for its gift.
Wow.
And so plastic as cash, that's what we've created. So it manifests itself in all kinds of other, you know, crazy ass ways. But, you know, consider like you live in absolute abject poverty. You probably were born without a sense of government ID. You don't have a last name. You don't have a birth date, birth certificate. Shit. Could you even ever imagine being banked? Like, how do you escape that level of poverty? No, you can't. How do you go and borrow money? It's almost impossible. But now, just by collecting the plastic and interacting with a plastic bank location, the more frequently you return the material, the more consistently you do it, the higher the quality of the material, not only do you just get a bank account from us, but we can substantiate your reliability, which is a credit worthiness.
Wow.
So you can obtain a credit rating. You have the ability to then to borrow money, become a small entrepreneur by cleaning the environment. Mm. So it happens. That's the side benefit. Ultimately, you know, there's a conversation, you know, well, why don't you just tell people to recycle? Well, you know, these are people who've never left their village. They don't know. They don't care.
Yeah.
Their kids are dying. Like there's no food. Like what do they care about you and your beach holiday? So there's a conversation that a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. I can't argue anyone. I mean, have you ever won an argument on like, you know, some social platform? No. You can't convince someone, but yeah. You can give them a transformative learning opportunity when they go, oh, what the fuck? Oh, fuck. Plastic is money. Oh, hold on. Oh, what? Everything below my feet? That's cash? Wow. What could I do with that? Totally cool.
Wow.
And so they look at it differently.
Yeah.
And then they bring it back to a location. It's weighed and that value is transferred into their bank account.
That's insane.
And then the plastic that we collect, we sell to great companies. And those great companies buy the material so that they can engage with their consumer.
Wow.
Because we're entering a whole regeneration economy.
And how many banks are around the world at the minute?
We're approaching 1,000 now. So like, wow. And it's not just plastic bank locations, but it's also schools. So
right.
Like in Haiti or in lots of the world where people don't have money to pay for their kids to go to school, the schools become the collection location. So the family takes all the household plastic and pays for the school tuition using garbage. So it makes it easier for more kids to go to school, which is just mind-blowing. Or what had me meet the Pope was that I created a program for faith. Like we're not denominational, but you know, Catholicism organized.
Yeah.
And so we created a way that the parishioner not only receives, you know, an opportunity to learn about the environment and stewardship and everything else, but it's created a program where the parishioner, the congregation, doesn't just bring their, you know, an offering on Sunday, but they bring their recycling as their offering. So the tithing is the actual recycling.
Wow.
So it allows the poor to even give and be in stewardship. So because those are globally exponential models. So like how do we expand around the world as fast as possible without having to build anything? Well, schools, churches, and other things.
Wow.
So that's kind of in a nutshell
yeah.
What we do. But I think even more importantly, it lets anyone who has any compassion in their heart or anyone that wants to serve the world that is a stand for like a plastic-free ocean or a plastic-free environment, the opportunity to not change shit and just go to the store and take something off the shelf that has social plastic inside of it that changes the world. So if you're going to buy a shampoo that has social plastic packaging with it. And so that it provides wow. some, you know, we're just trying to make it easy for the world
yeah.
to make change.
What inspired that idea? I know you said you were kind of walking around seeing plastic on the ocean, but, you know, going as a kid, like growing up, when does the idea kind of just hit you when you're like,
you know? Well, the you know, it coalesced May the 9th, 2013, right before lunch. and I was attending an event.
You actually know the date?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Holy
for sure, for sure. It was big. Yeah, wow. It was kind of like a spiritual awakening at the same time. Not to sound, you know, not to sound too philosophical or spiritual, yeah. But like it was like, it was giant. Like,
yeah.
You know, so I had this idea that, you know, so I was searching, right? So I was, you know, life isn't as it appears. Life is as you believe it to be already.
Yeah.
If you think life is unjust and unfair, as you walk around, you'll only be looking for proof that life is unjust and unfair. If you think life is abundant and amazing, then that's what you'll see too.
Yeah.
So I approached it with the knowing that there's a solution. Where's the solution? So that I was more likely and able to see the solution as it arrived.
Right.
So I attended an event in Silicon Valley called Singularity University, which is, brings like these super like epic cool thinkers together to educate executives about transformative technologies, things that are going to really change the world. And it was during a 3D printing seminar. Like this was like 8 years ago. It was like, I hadn't really heard of 3D printing. Like what? And I saw, and for listeners who don't know, you know, 3D printing, it uses a computer and a nozzle, and the computer just moves the nozzle around and melts plastic as it moves the nozzle to create stuff, right? So it's just a single long strand of plastic transformed in shape.
Yeah.
And so the example, one of the examples there was this big brown belt, totally fluid, it was like super cool. It was like, what? It had like the 70s look to it. It was really fascinating. It was like, what? Like you 3D printed a belt? And like, well how much does that sell for? They said, well, the belt sells for around $80. I'm like, okay, well,
wow,
that's cool. But how much is the plastic in it? And they were like, well, $10. I'm like, hold on a second. So the only thing that kind of revealed the $70 worth of extra value in plastic was its shape.
Yeah.
So in that's what struck me. It was like, oh, fuck. Like the only reason we look at a plastic bottle as being free or worthless is the shape of it. We think that a plastic in that shape is worth nothing, and so we throw it away. So what if we change the shape or the thinking inside someone's mind? How do I have them now look at that as money? Oh, if I can have you now look at that as money, the whole world changes.
That's cool.
That's the way that came to life.
Wow, dude.
Right? And they've just been in continuous execution since. That's it's just like cool. Never given up, like persevering everything, like fuck it. Like it's not an opportunity for it to not succeed.
Yeah.
And that makes money?
And we're a for-profit business. So all the plastic we collect, we sell to big companies. Like we collect mass volumes of material. In June alone, we collected over 100 million bottles.
Wow.
Holy fuck.
In June alone. And it gets bigger every month. We're just scaling and scaling and scaling.
So you guys are going rapidly, like insane.
Crazy. Yeah, hundreds of percent year over year, 300% year over year.
Wow.
It's going crazy.
How long has this business been up and running?
Since that fateful May the 9th, 2013.
Oh, shit.
I had the idea right before lunch. I sat down.
Yeah.
I was like, plastic is money. What do I call it? What do I call it? Plastic? Plastic bank, of course. But if it's money, you deposit plastic in a bank. And okay. And then I had the values and I just began.
Wow.
And I've just been in continuous execution since that day.
What's your dream goal with this company?
World domination.
Yeah.
So you want to be Elon Musk?
With compassion. Like I want to create something that's transformative for the world, that creates a space for everyone to steward where we are. I don't want to leave Earth.
Yeah.
I want to make Earth a place that we don't need to leave from.
I like that too.
I'm a big fan of that. Well, what were you doing before Plastic Bank?
I've always been an entrepreneur. Never had a job.
Really? Say young listening.
Yeah.
Maybe just about to leave high school. Maybe college.
Yeah.
What's a good piece of advice to kind of break away from that normal 9-to-5 being caught in that routine?
I always got some, you know, advice for, so I've got a almost 16-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Eliana, who, and I think the beautiful advice is don't think of the job that you want to have in the world.
Yeah.
Think of the problem you want to solve in the world.
Damn.
And guide yourself with that. Right? What do you want to solve in the world? And then you've got that paradigm so that you're out looking for, and then it just appears like, oh fuck, I want to solve, you know, hunger. And so you're out in the world and things that are solving hunger would start, oh, there it is. And so that you can carry yourself through the rest of your education as well. And so that even when you're learning something that isn't resonating in your soul, you've got the reference that it's there to help you learn how to end hunger.
Wow.
So it makes everything more powerful, more beautiful, more inspiring.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you think having a purpose with your when creating a business, because again, like I feel that a lot of young entrepreneurs, and I'm still very like in that stage, purpose is to make more money. Do you think that to be super successful?
Well, if your purpose is to make more money, you'll always be in a position where you don't think you have enough money, because then what you resist, you know, what you're resisting will persist.
Yeah.
So, oh, I need to make more money. Well, that takes you out of a paradigm that you don't have enough.
Right.
So where will your joy lie? Where will you create a place of having, because I think what the world truly needs is people who are alive.
Yeah.
Like, fuck making more money. Like, be alive in the world. Be the person who inspires others to make change. Be all of those things.
Yeah.
And create the space for other people to be courageous and venture out.
Right.
All right. Back to that whole conversation, the best is the enemy of the good enough. And that, how many times do we want to beat people up? Because, oh, it wasn't perfect yet. Oh, you're trying to change the world, but it shouldn't be for profit, or it should be this or that or whatever. And it causes people to shrink.
Yeah.
We need to create a space for people to try, to go and risk things and be amazing for the world and become the person who makes great change in the world. That's more of the journey. I there's all kinds of other advice I've got inside of that conversation.
Have you ever thought about being a motivational speaker?
No.
it's very inspiring.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah, but you also, not just as inspiring, you have a great voice and a great way of wording things.
Yeah.
It's very... Thank you. Positive. Yeah,
thank you. It's kind. If people become motivated from my words, then I guess it kind of makes me a motivational speaker.
Yeah, true.
But that's not my intention. All I was honestly doing is I've been so around the block.
Yeah.
I've persevered so much.
I have
so
as well,
shit.
But it's a different block.
Yeah.
that I've been around.
You got so many years ahead of you. You're going to be so remarkable. It's amazing because you're showing up looking for things.
Right.
Right. You're not waiting for the world. You're not waiting for the world to give you anything. You're showing up to see how you can contribute and be a part of that and add value. So that's also part of that wisdom as well. How many people sit back and going, oh, it's the world's not just, or it's this or that, or it's not fair. I mean, you're just out there making it fair. You're just making it what you want it to be in the world. So that's a different conversation.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah. I think the, and it's kind of weird. It hit me this morning when I was thinking about talking to you about Plastic Bank and, all the amazing things that you do. And it was again, that process of switching over, like, oh, you have to do things with purpose. Because super bizarre, like, for past couple of days, I've been, I know you're spiritual as well, but I've been in my own head about what's come. I completely wiped off my whiteboard that I have in my kitchen that I look at every single day. And the biggest things on there is, like, purpose-filled mission. And that was one thing that we had a conversation with my friend CJ on yesterday, who's also going to be on the podcast. He was telling me, he's like, there's no, and because he manages a lot of high end artists, and he said that there's no dead weight. We have a purpose filled mission. What is our purpose? Define it and move in that way. And I think the reason why I'm in the position that I'm in, and the reason why I'm so heavy on entertaining and entertainment and trying to be like a joker and a bit of a class clown, is just because of I've seen so many sad people, right? You as the same situation with you is you saw the plastic washing up. You're like, how do I change this? For me, I've lost two friends this year to suicide, people very close to me. And for me, I'm like, my process or my purpose is, you know, that's why we started the podcast. It's like, it's going to make people laugh. Like, I don't care. Like, I'll go on my Instagram story. I'll say the most craziest things. And I think I've been in that transition period now as well. It's like, what can I do to put this purpose into like a big vessel where I can impact more people and scale quickly? I don't know, I'm just kind of rambling on about myself.
I hear a lot on that as well. And like, you know, and again, it's just my reflection is I'm just seeing myself in your words. So it's nothing about you, but what I hear in there for myself is, you know, the gift of having people who are unseen seen, because I think that when you get to a point where you want to end your life, where you think there's no hope, you think that no one sees you, gets you. And I could imagine. And for me, I know how having people be seen, having them brought into the light, having life be light, is a gift. And so I think your purpose and even the podcast is somewhat maybe in that realm to have people be seen.
Yeah.
So that they feel like they're not alone.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I also think that like just again, like trying to bring that joy and stuff like that. But anyway, before we get sad and go down that route, is it difficult? You've seen a stack of success. Does the goalpost keep moving, right? Because I know for me.
Well, hold on. Let's be clear. Hold on a second. What I continue to experience is shit. And I'm going to put that in a reference because that makes it sound like it's negative. It's not. What I get to do is look at everything in my life as an instruction, not as an obstruction.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's an instruction. That's an instruction. Where's the gift in that? Where's the gift in that? Where's the gift in that? So where others might look at it and go, oh, what? Like, you know, how do you overcome that? Why, you know, nothing to overcome. It was a gift. It came as a gift.
Right.
So it didn't come from success. It came from the ability to look at things as lessons, as, you know, as a great book, Ryan Holiday called The Obstacle is the Way. And it says, and the whole premise comes from the Marcus Aurelius, the works of his. And it's like the obstacle in the path is the path. The shit you don't want to do, the shit that confronts you, the shit that hurts you, that is there for you to overcome that, to become the person who overcomes it. It's all an instruction. So success doesn't come, it doesn't just appear.
Yeah.
It comes from looking at the shit as being remarkable. So it's amazing. So like, I didn't see that coming there's just a million. And we're all a product of everything we've ever experienced in our lives. Mm. And the gift of it appears more profoundly when we don't resist it. When we look at it and go, oh, okay, what's in there for me? What's the gift? Where's the beauty? See the good. Where's the good in that?
Yeah.
Because then you don't have to resist it. You don't sit there in the lament of it and going, oh, that should have never have happened. And that person, and I want to be, they wronged me. And or you can look at it and go, oh, okay, what did I learn from that?
Yeah.
So you get past it super quick, and then you get to be the person who overcomes it, which is what the world needs you to be.
Yeah. Damn. Do you look up to anyone?
I have an admiration for everyone. Like I have admiration for people who are homeless and that persevering in such a state, and you have admiration for people who other people walk by.
Yeah.
And so that could appear to be hopeless, but have joy in their face anyow.
But is there anyone that you're like,
this guy's
badass? I wish I could be a little bit more like that guy.
Like John Cena. Tanning Tatum and Magic Mike.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves. Yeah. Well, he's pretty badass.
He's crazy.
You look at actors, a lot of people look at actors, but what do? They ultimately follow instructions well.
Yeah.
So, okay, you know, I'm inspired by people who create, people who overcame shit to like create change in the world. Like, you know, Elon Musk, he's a remarkable guy too. But does he have, I can't comment. I want to do fun shit.
Yeah.
I want to do cool shit. I still want to play. I'm still 15 in my head. I love dancing. Like I like that balance of it all. So I'm more inspired by people that want to have it all.
Yeah.
And
Jeff Bezos.
Maybe. All right. But you guys are all, these are all the classic ones. I think there's just so many people out there. Like,
do you ever get jealous?
No, it's a gift. Like, it's like, what? Like, you achieve something totally. How did you epic, fucking high five?
David, how did you develop this mentality, though? Because, like, obviously, everyone's known people, and everyone's had that state where, because I'm at the point where I've flipped over, like, things happen for me, not to me, right?
Yeah.
Flip that over.
Yeah.
At what point did you develop this, like, very wholesome understanding of the world and like wanting the need of just like, this isn't happening for me?
Well, you know, I guess it became May the 9th, 2013. Right. That's why I communicate as a spiritual awakening. Like it all came at that moment. Like there was just so much in it. Like, so more of the story is that like, so I had the idea of the plastic bank. It was like totally like overwhelming. The hair on the back of my neck stood up. It was like, what? Like, hold on. Plastic is money for the world. Like, could you imagine? Like there's like 10 trillion kilos of plastic on the earth. It's all worth, let's say, 50 cents a kilo. It's a $5 trillion value. It's 500 billion to end poverty. What? We've inadvertently been depositing the very value to end all suffering in the world.
Wow.
Holy fuck. Like what? And for me, that was like, whoa, hold on a second. Like, oh, that was big. And so I had all the voices in my head, like, what? And then I had all the ego show up. It's like, who are you, man? Like, what? You're going to try to build some, like, you know, globally transformative organization. You're going to try to end poverty. You're going to sell stuff to the biggest companies in the world. You're going to work in the most violent and illiterate communities in the world. How are you going to communicate? There's thousands of languages around the world. What are you doing?
Wow.
So that showed up. But
yeah.
That's why I say the birth of the plastic bank came in the third thought. And it was super quiet, super still, just like this peace, this consciousness arose. I said, David, you don't need to be the person that could do any of that.
Yeah.
The only thing you needed to choose is to become the person who could. And so that was the gift that I received. So wow. I was overwhelmed. Oh my goodness, I can become a little bit more tomorrow. I don't need to be that person today at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be perfect for me to begin. Remember, the perfect is the enemy, the good enough. Good enough for me was the ability to learn, to pick up a book, to figure shit out, to talk it out loud with people, to bring it out into the world, to engage people, to get feedback from people, to iterate every day, to change a little bit every day. And I just chose to make it a lifelong journey. It didn't need to be today. It didn't need to be tomorrow. And the gift of it all was that I got to be in the joy of becoming the person who gets it done.
Wow.
So that's it's easier than people think. You see, because, and where I was going with that, when people think of Bezos and Musk, that's why I hate throwing those names out there, because people are like, oh, I'll never be that. It becomes too big for them already, so they don't even start. That's why I'm telling you, it could be the homeless person down the road that people walk past that still have joy in their face. There's inspiration in anybody and everybody. Don't look at those things that you don't believe are attainable. And especially I'm talking to a beautiful younger audience. And I'm so thankful to be here because it's that generation that's truly leading the change that I need to see in the world, which is how do we affect the plastic bank? How do we affect the world? Because everyone listening has got a huge voice.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the most powerful consumer group ever in history. When you go into a store, you have so much power to make change. And so I'm inspired by people who know that little by little, anything can be achieved. And yeah. So don't equate yourself. Oh, I'm inspired by the fuck. Like, no, I'm inspired by little people doing great and super cool shit. And people who are courageous. People will go in in spite of fear and do stuff. You know, Bertrand, I forgot Bertrand's last name. He was really remarkable. I was introduced to him a little while ago. He was the Solar One, I think was the name of the plane. It flew nonstop around the world, solar power plane.
Wow.
It's fucking inspiring for me.
Yeah.
Like what? That was a change of the course of humanity as well. Bringing solar power, aviation, creating something powerful for the world.
Yeah.
Turns out that his great grandfather, just a whole family of aviation, of risk takers, courageous people that are not there for the dollar or for the limelight, but for humanity, but that are posing something new. Because I think that when you die, you look back at who you became, not the money you have. I don't think anyone looks back and says, oh yeah, I win. I had, $50 billion.
Yeah.
I'd rather look back and say, oh, look at the lives that I changed. Look at how long my memory will live in the world.
Damn.
That, I think, is way bigger.
Fuck, I'm inspired. I can feel it in my
toes. I'm saying, dude, Tony Robbins is going under. Tony Robbins is a bitch
compared to this payment. I'm like, I'm tingling.
This water's cold, man. It's frosty.
Oh, it's very.
It is. One of the frostiest waters I've had.
It's so frosty. Speaking of frosty, your kids.
Yeah.
When raising kids, one day I'm going to be a dad.
Yeah.
What's the best advice that you could give, with your kids? Like, are you heavily entrenched in the schooling? Like, this is what, you need to do this, discipline, this and that?
No, not at all.
Or are you just like.
No, that's ridiculous.
Figure it out, or if you need guidance, I'm here. What's your approach with, raising?
Well, I think the proper approach is to recognize that you're not raising children.
Yeah.
And most moms, a lot of people, I don't say moms, let me remove most. What I experience in the world. I hear that.
Your mom, maybe, is what you're thinking of.
No, hold on. What I experience is a lot of people want to raise kids.
Yeah.
And if you're raising kids, they're always going to be kids.
Yeah.
Why not raise powerful, individual people?
Wow.
So I'm trying to raise powerful individual people. So I don't care how old you are. I speak to you as a powerful individual person so that they have the paradigm that they're powerful individual people. If I teach you and talk to you like a child, you'll always stay in a childlike mind. So when will you be creative? When will you contribute? When will you be big in the world? And when you always think of yourself as a child or someone has got to come in and make your decisions for you. No, I give you an alternative choice. Like, you can either do this or do that. You choose.
So when girls call me daddy, does that mean it's because their parents speak to them as a child? sorry.
It means something. Yeah, it means something.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, like maybe their parents always spoke to them as kids. You know, they still do. If you're listening, so call me daddy.
I wish my mom heard that
rant before
I was born.
Right.
He's still breastfed.
Because I'm ready to grow up. 31.
Is there any other companies that you think are also making a positive impact that we should be on the lookout? Because I think
we need to be on the lookout for the two guys in the garage that are trying to change the fucking world.
Right.
It's not the traditional big publicly traded companies that are going to do jack. They care about shareholder return. Yeah. Like this whole conversation about climate change, ocean acidification, marine debris, that's been around for decades. And what are they doing?
Yeah.
Zero. Why? Because shareholders have to have a return.
Yeah.
And it's the law. It's like the fiduciary duty of the CEO to ensure that the shareholders receive their return first. They can't actually do anything that compromises the profitability. And sometimes the compromise of the profitability is, oh, we should build, you know, recycling ecosystems around the world so that the material we're selling isn't polluting the planet. Well, hold on a second. That's in contradiction to profitability, so I can't do it. So that's where I like B Corp and stuff. And that's where there's a different paradigm of business showing up. And so like if you're listening, go do business with B Corp. Go listen. If there's...
What's B Corp?
A B Corp is a benevolent corporation. So that corporation
that's
that actually...
That's a big
word. Yeah. The corporations that can actually do well are a benefit corporation. And so a corporation that actually can do things for the rest of society before shareholders.
I like that.
So it's not against the law for them to do well in the world.
Wow.
Like, could you imagine that we're in a society where... Isn't it just conversation? These are loose conversations. Like, and I don't know shit about shit. I'm a Canadian. And so I'll just, you know, just talking off the top of my fucking head.
Canadian would say that I don't know shit about shit. If you were American, you'd be like, listen, I'm an expert on all this.
Yeah, right. So I don't really view, I think it's a bit of a misnomer. I know I'm about to offend a whole bunch of people. I don't believe that America is a democratic society. It is a capitalist society. And there's a comprehensive difference between the two. And when we serve capitalism, ultimately those people at the top are benefiting the most. If it was truly democratic, would have this beautiful capitalist democratic society where you can still become profitable, but we don't leave anybody behind. And the capitalist society is more like a pyramid scheme. That's what I experience. And that capitalist structure is what I'm fighting, because it's those capitalists that are ultimately degrading the environment. There's only a handful of people in the end that are actually contributing to the degradation of the planet. And let's be clear as well. The Earth is going to be just absolutely pristine. Pristine. The oceans are going to be teeming with life. There's going to be more life than we could have ever imagined. That's for sure. What is for sure is that the Earth is going to be great. What we don't know is whether we're going to still be here. And I would say that the probability of us not being here is very high. The Earth, dude, it's not Earth Day. We want to celebrate Earth Day. It's not Earth Day. Let's celebrate Save Humanity Day. That's a whole different day. Because that's actually what is occurring.
Yeah.
And there's been 10 billion species on the planet. 10 billion. Over 10 billion, according to scientists.
Yeah.
10 billion species. We're only one of 10 billion species.
Oh yeah, we got to figure our shit out.
So what hubris do we have that says that, you know, we're that our success here is assured? It's not. We're just one of 10 billion species.
That's true.
Crazy part is though, is that out of all the 10 billion species that have ever existed, that have ever roamed the planet, we've been the only species that have ever had the ability to steward all other life. The only species that has ever existed that it can actually care for everything else.
Wow.
But look how fucked up. What the fuck? We kill shit and put it up.
What are we doing,
wall.
Guys? Come on.
Right.
Fuck you.
But there's a lot in that, though. Like, you know, yeah, fuck you. Fuck everyone. It's like, what? Yeah. What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, what's a way that we can help support Plastic Bank or your mission?
Well, what I want every listener to do is like be super courageous, be super bold. And every time you go into a store and buy something, I want you to go and ask either the teller or the manager and say, hey, Mr. Manager, I love shopping here. It's my preferred place. But could you point out those things that are made with recycled content? Could you point out those things that regenerate or repair the earth? Could you show me those things that are going to do well in the world if I buy them? Because those are the ones I want to buy first.
Yeah.
And even if they don't have anything, they'll go, oh, hold on a second. People are asking.
Yeah.
Because the big brands of the world listen to the retailer. They don't listen to you as the consumer. The big brands of the world, their customer is the retailer. You're the customer of the retailer. The change in the world is going to occur, not when you petition the, Unilevers of the world, but when you go to the local, Trader Joe's or whatever you want to go to and say, hey, that's what I'm looking for.
Is there a list on your website of like companies that
go to anyone, go to your local go to your local grocery store or people who are like that work with us. There needs to be a more comprehensive list. There is a list of big brands that are supporting us. We're big supporters of SC Johnson. They've been so beautiful, like Windex and stuff like that. They got so many beautiful products. You go buy a bottle of window cleaner and you're changing the world.
Yeah, I'm going to scrub all my windows.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Don't drink it, though. It's not Gatorade. A lot of kids listen to this.
Right.
It's just for windows.
I don't think infants are listening to
You're right.
Sure. Actually, I did. I swear on my mom's life, I got tagged in a story the other day of this lady holding her baby watching me and Tana, and I replied to her, I was like, I'm sorry, I do not think
that's not good.
That's
parenting.
Not appropriate.
Yeah.
I know you're not supposed to treat your kids like kids or individuals, but there's
a lot of reason. Listening to Tana Mojo and Harry Jazzy is not what your kids should be doing. Now, spiritual stuff. Yeah. We'll end on this stuff.
Sure.
Are you a big manifester?
Conscious, I endeavor to continue to create the space in between thought and self. So recognizing that the thoughts that I traditionally have, especially the degrading ones, the ones that are like, fuck, no one likes you, you're fat, you're this, you're that, the other, those are just ego mind thoughts. They're not who I am. I'm the ones who hears those thoughts. And so I take time in meditation to create a space in between the bullshit stories that I tell myself and who I am. And when I come into that space of who I am, that's kind of in the infinite space of the universe. So like when you come out of thought, which is finite, because when you're thinking of something, that's one way of thinking. And when you come into that one way of thinking, that is a finite way of thinking. And we live in an infinite universe.
Wow.
So when I come into that finite way of thinking, I give up all the possibility of the universe that is already there for me. And so I practice to come into a consciousness where I'm then available and open to everything. That would describe specifically my spirituality.
You meditate as well?
Oh, for sure. The one thing this whole thing has given me is meditation. Like that's my life by meditation, my business success by meditation.
How do you do it? I've never, I feel like
life will change with meditation.
Really?
Meditation isn't about manifesting or being in thought. It's about coming out of thought. It's a Zen type meditation, not mantra or other things. What I do is I count my breath. Mm. But for me, what's worked for me is that when I've closed my eyes, I see a number one coming out of the light, and then a number two. And what I do is I train my mind to not get carried away in thought. I train my mind to come out of thought, because I'll always have thoughts anyhow. So like my brain will wander like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, did I get a parking ticket? Oh, and then, okay, hold on. 1, 2, 3. Oh, is it sunny outside? Oh, and then come back. So I train myself to come out of the bullshit stories I tell myself, so I don't get carried down the rabbit hole. So I've got more joy in my life. I have more freedom in my life because I'm not who I think I am. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is there a book that you read to teach you to meditate?
Oh, lots.
Or did you just start?
I'm a big fan of Eckhart Tolle. A New Earth is a beautiful book, right? New Earth is that's a beautiful book. I'd recommend that. Alan Watts, there's just so many great leaders. Michael Singer, there's so many great thought leaders in the space. Oh, I'd recommend there's an app called Headspace that teaches you how to meditate. Well, man, just go do it. It starts off in like 2 meditation, 3 minute meditations, 4 minute meditations. And like, you don't need to spend time. It'll change. Man, I remember being at there was like a learning event I attended, and there was this guy who sold his company for $500 million. It was a business event.
Just something casual.
Right? Casual.
Just a cheeky 500 mil.
And
so he's poor. He's kind of a loser.
He was rich of soul. It was beautiful. And they were asking him, I say, well, how'd you do it? And he goes, you know, the question was, knowing what you now know, what would you have done differently? He goes, I would have meditated sooner.
Wow.
I'm like, what? Like, because I was there, like, everything. In the ego mind of, like, trying to, you know, I was looking after, like, Armani suits and all that shit, trying to, like, attain money. And, oh, when I have money, then I'll be worth something. People will like me when I have money. I'll be happy when I have money. So I was there trying to learn, like, what lessons does he have for me on how do I guide my business? Meditate. What? And it struck me. It's like, hold on a second. There must be something inside of that.
Yeah.
It took me a number of years to come back to it because I kind of refuted it at first. I was like, what? Meditation? That sounds like bullshit. But when I got into meditation, my whole life changed. My whole life changed. The plastic bank success has changed. It's all as a result of meditation. It's crazy. It's just the most messed up thing.
So I'm going to try it. I think I'm going to try it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Hey, you know what?
You sold me.
I'm sold.
He's starting a meditation
call. Now, that's like an old school technique that's been around
for thousands of years.
Is there any new school, like, are there any experimental drugs you recommend out there?
I mean, I just came back from an ayahuasca journey.
Oh, wow. Yeah. A lot of wows today.
Yeah.
A lot of wow moments.
How is that? Okay, first off.
I'm scared of purging.
Lots of people do.
My best friend did it when I was 14. I'm not
okay. Even, listen, it's not a recreational drug, and I actually think that would be okay.
No. Yeah. Well, I have to explain it, right? Okay. So, he was born with an immune disease, and he was struggling in high school. And his mom's very spiritual.
Yes.
Actually, one of the only person that kind of helped me flip that switch.
Yeah.
When I was in a depressive state.
Yeah.
And kind of inspired me to look a little bit more inside instead of look outside and what people are telling me and like saying about me instead of, so it helped me learn a little bit more about myself when I was with her and learning about the process. But he was telling me, he was obviously in a, you know, kids are mean, you know, you're 14 years old, you're going through it, especially when you've got some stuff going on with your body. So he said he went through it and it helped him kind of lose his perception on other people, and it changed everything for him. It's wild. And I also had another friend who's done it like 50 something times.
Oh yeah, I can see that occurring. Yeah,
I've never thought about it. I feel like for me, I always got told is like when you're at crossroads is when you need to do it. Why did you go in?
I went because I was called into a spiritual journey of becoming the person, excuse me, who can make change in the world. Wow. So it all came that May the 9th, and it was all part of the journey. Like, what do I have to put down? See, here's the thing. The only reason, I'll just speak for myself, the only reason that I you know, have not changed the world yet is because there are realms inside of my thinking that I'm not even aware of that are keeping me from being that person. There's blocks. Places that I'm not even aware of.
Wow.
And so the ayahuasca journey helps reveal those things that you think are true.
Yeah.
That run your life that you then get to put down to free you to be more unlimited, or to be truly unlimited, not more unlimited, but truly unlimited in the world. It's about seeing that you're not aware of. There's this premise called the Johari window. These four windows. There's the window that, that everyone knows, like, you know, they know you and you know yourself and you know the things that kind of like, you know, trip you up or things like that. And okay. Then there's the window that you know things about yourself, but other people don't know about you. Things that you kind of hide, but they still run your life. Then there's the window that other people know about you, but you don't see in yourself, right? And then there's the Johari window. And the Johari window is that you don't know about yourself and that others don't know about you either. Peer into that window. Peer into the window of self. Find that is your greatest encumbrance. Free yourself from it. And your life can flourish and you're aligned with the unlimited, infinite universe. Put down thinking. Put down thinking. Mm. Thinking is not you. Thinking are thoughts. Thoughts are ego. It's egoic. It's there to protect you, not to have you flourish. Your consciousness, your realm of being is what's unlimited. Your energy in the world is infinite. Get out of the finite way of thinking that you are a way and get to the point where you truly see the infinite Harry. That's what the world needs you to be.
Wow.
That was frosty.
That was so that's frosty. Yeah. what do you, for people who are listening, ayahuasca, can you explain it a little bit?
Plant medicine. It's remarkable. It's not a recreational drug by any means. It is a soulful journey that takes you into self. And it's a combination of two plants. It's originated thousands of years ago in the Amazon jungle. And it's those two plants that are then steeped together. It's very thick. It's like molasses. It kind of tastes like molasses as well. For me, it was very kind of licorice and molasses. Mm. You know, I got to see the joy in it, which is maybe why I didn't purge like others. People thought it didn't taste good.
What's a purge? Is when you vomit and shit yourself?
Yeah, you can. It's not like spontaneous,
yeah.
But you feel it coming and that can occur. But that purge is really, and for many people, it's the purge of the story. It's the purge of the meaning.
Yeah.
It's the release of everything. And people experience it in different ways. My purge comes with tears. So like emotion. And so I emote that way and I purge that way. And what the ayah does is it takes you into realms of your thinking and your being and your consciousness. It brings to light and shows you, for me, at least I'll speak from my experience, because everyone has a different experience. Mm. So what occurred for me during my ayah journeys, there were three journeys in that week, is that it took me into a place of thinking that was free of the subconscious, of the egoic mind. So I was able to think unbound. I was able to go to places that were free of my own self-limiting beliefs, my diminishment, you know, my constraint. It let me see bigger, farther in the world.
Wow.
So it changed the way, it changed how I be in the world.
There's a lot of moments in this podcast where I just found myself like closing my eyes and listening to you talk.
Yeah, you
not in a sleeping way.
You got a lovely voice.
Thank you.
Wait,
thank you.
And I'm just curious about ayahuasca. You
got to do it, man. There's some coming out after this. I'm going to tell you all about it.
I'm there.
You need to go.
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah. And I would love to talk about it on the podcast as well. Isn't it like a 3-day journey? No.
I went for a week. It's this. Can I talk about the company?
Yeah.
They're called One Heart. So it's oneheart.com. They're totally epic. It's all about great people who want to do great things in the world. They have got these kind of retreats around the world. They do a couple around the world.
Yeah.
Super heartfelt, beautiful. It was a week-long journey. There was two evening ayahuasca journeys. Then there was a shamanic breath work, which blew my mind. That's a whole nother conversation. Then there was a daytime shamanic journey. And then it was all kinds of other like deep thinking moments where you're able to difficult to express what it would be for everyone because it's such an individual journey. Wow. It's there for you. I mean, it's this feminine energy that's called Grandmother Aya, and there's a whole ceremony around it, and there's just a lot of beauty. And the organization, the medicine team was just magical, and they're playing instruments and singing while you're journeying as well. It was just beautiful. And the group is very tight knit. There's about 35 people who are participating fully. And you build those relationships as well. And you see each other wholly, fully. And everyone is there vulnerably opening their heart because a lot of people have very difficult experiences. There's a lot for them to purge. And a lot of them go and transgress into like early childhood traumas and all kinds of stuff. And so you're experiencing that with people and you hold the space for people to have that. And so just, it's just profound. Like, wow. I want to go again. Yeah.
Fuck. All right. Well,
do you think we could find girlfriends there or not that kind of place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard that people have, that at the end of it, they do. Here's something you're familiar with. There's a period of celibacy before and then during.
Oh, fuck.
That'd be good for you, Harry.
Again? Oh, yeah. Really? Like how long? A couple of days? A
couple
of
weeks.
Oh, for fuck. No, I don't know about this.
Yeah, right? So, but the power of that as well. Yeah. See, there's like a whole, like they have this like recommended diet, the dieta and all this stuff to get to self.
Yeah.
You see, because when, you know, like with, I've got like this, like just beautiful wife. I have like this, I have a goddess in my life. And what I got to experience in that is a deeper level of intimacy, because when you're shagging all the time, you actually give up the ability to see each other, desire each other, want each other. So there's a lot of gift in that as well. Just this place of like, oh, hold on a second. Let's just be close to each other, but not be together.
Wow. Are you allowed to, you know, beat your meat? No, nothing.
No, nothing.
What if you accidentally had a wet dream? Are you canceled from the class?
No, you're not.
But
the emphasis, though.
I'm prone.
It's a disservice to yourself if you beat the meat.
Exactly.
You're there to do the program.
You're there to go deep in the journey.
Yeah. Right.
So it allows you to be with self, to be in those thinking, because even like, you know, all that sexuality is into thinking, into thought. And I know for a lot of people, sexuality for them is a sense of meaning of self.
Yeah.
Like when, you know, I know that for much of my life, when I was doing encounter, a woman that would, desire me, that was more for self. It wasn't me wanting to have her feel fulfilled. It was for me taking a validation or valuation.
Right.
So much of that life that I had was about me. Am I good enough? Am I worthy enough?
Yeah.
And then when they showed up that way for me, it was more of like a, egoic, oh, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And so when you get to a point where that question is still in your head and you go deep with Aya, that's something that gets to be answered. I just give this an example.
Fuck, I'm going to do it now. You sold me.
Yeah.
No more sex.
Oneheart.com.
Oneheart.com, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Do it. If you guys are interested in this stuff. But where can everyone find you? Do you want people to come?
Plasticbank.com. Go to plasticbank.com. Yeah. Do all that shit. There's 1,000 ways you could find me. I'm everywhere. I've got a great official TED talk.
Yeah.
That talks about Plastic Bank. You go view that, but all of that is inconsequential. I don't really give a rat's ass if you do any of that. I care less. What I want you to do is be bold and courageous. Be the person the world needs you to be. I need you to walk into a store, go ask for the manager kindly and say, point me out those things that have social plastic in them. Point out those things that get to change the world. Go and create the demand. Show the world that this is what we want to have happen. It's a renaissance. By the people, for the people. We can't wait for big corporations to make the change that we need to see in the world. We all know that climate change is real. We all know that marine debris is real. We all know those things are real. And yet we've been waiting for the elite few to create the space for us to not suffer. Stop it. You're infinitely powerful. Go be that person in the world. There isn't an opportunity otherwise.
I'm motivated.
Good.
I'm ready to go hike a mountain.
Yeah. I'm going to go make up with a bear.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for listening, tuning in,
awesome,
tapping
everyone.
In.
Super
to the,
awesome.
To the podcast. If you did enjoy it, drop a comment. Again, 5 stars, giving away money all week. We're wilding out. But thank you so much for listening to this podcast.
Better yet.
Yeah.
Better yet. It's a challenge.
Here we go. Don't have sex for a week.
We see, it goes to prove we see what we're thinking about. That's hilarious. Better yet, why not?
Yeah.
For everyone that does DM you,
yeah.
Why not extract 1,000 bottles from the environment for them?
Right.
Why not say, well, everyone that actually participates that does that,
yeah.
We're going to change the world on their behalf. Why not take this podcast and make it a force of change in the world? Why not take that and help someone's poverty leave them? Why not put another child in school? Why not clean the ocean? Why not save something?
Right.
Yeah, you can send them some money. Do that anyway.
Yeah, it's just whack. But I'll do it. I'll do it.
Do both. We'll split the money in half. Half of it's going to go to a poor person.
Or give them, give your listener a chance to choose.
Right.
Yeah, good. There we go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. If you want to be selfish, we'll give you money. And if you want to be a better person and help the world,
we're going to pull 1,000. Right. We'll stop 1,000 bottles.
1,000 bottles. It's cheap.
I'm down. Let's do it.
Done. Deal.
There you go, guys. The choice is yours, motherfuckers. if you want to help be a great person, or if you want some money.
Well, you're a great person anyhow, but this is a different way to exhibit.
Maybe they need, if they want the money, they probably need it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So let's say, if they need the money, absolutely.
All
right. Right? And we get the individual pain, and absolutely. Just in this space. Like, how much money would you send someone?
Well, I was thinking about giving away $500 or $1,000. Like, each person gets $100
each. $100
each.
Okay. So $100 each.
Throughout a week.
It's change. Man, when someone makes $1 a day.
Yeah.
And you give someone $100, you change their life.
Wow. True. Fuck it. 5 stars.
All right.
Apple, Spotify, drop a comment, DM me a screenshot.
And let's see how much change we can make in the world.
And let's see what we can do.
Right.
We're here to help. And thank you so much for enjoying the podcast.
Create a Harry Jowsey movement.
Stay frosty.
Right.
Stay so frosty.
Stay frosty.
Awesome.
Yeah. Beautiful, everyone.